it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Memorial Day at Camden Yards. Orioles and Yankees opening a three-game series. Orioles here today trying to end a miserable seven-game losing streak. The skipper, Buck Showalter, right after this.
Rockabatko here with Orioles manager Buck Showalter on today's manager's report. A rough road trip, Buck, in Houston, the losing streak, seven games. And I'm just going to assume, as Captain Obvious again, there's no obvious easy fix to this or it would have been done by now. So do you just, again, trust track records and wait for this thing to end?
Well, it's not like you got an off week like football or, you know, you got 6-7 days. That's also why it's good when you're playing well. You get to, you know, ride the momentum. So, you know, everybody's aware of numbers and words they use to describe where you're at and what have you. But, you know, you got to, you know, times like this that you have in most every season that you got to work your way through. And usually revolves around pitching performances and being able to keep a certain mentality that allows you to be consistent where you're not thinking how much is enough and getting out of your game.
I know people, you know, the inclination is to say we need to shake things up, whether it's a lineup or whatever, but do you kind of sit back and say, well, how many options are there to shake things up?
Well, you know, I believe me, I look at all those things as fans do, and you look at, you know, batting orders and fixes, and sometimes there's a need and you go there. But, you know, this is the same team that played well in April and parts of May, and we're in a stretch now where, but you're trying to make sure that you're consistent with the approach. And our guys have been working, in some cases, almost too hard to right the ship a little bit. But, you know, this too shall pass.
It's very unusual for a starter to go two innings and a manager only has to use one reliever the rest of the way. How valuable was Ubaldo Jimenez yesterday?
Well, most managers don't have a pitcher equipped to go 100 pitches out of the bullpen, but, you know, Ubaldo was. You know, he struggled the first inning. Like most guys that are starters put in that situation, you know, it's kind of that case with most starters getting through the first inning. That's why we thought that Ash, after he got the double play in the first inning, would present himself well after that. But, you know, that was big for our bullpen. You know, we come into the series with still on our feet, and we're able to stay away from Logan Barrett that, you know, we're hoping to have him long today, and Ubaldo was great for us in that role.
Rockabatko back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter on today's manager's report. We were talking Chris Davis yesterday. I know he's a popular topic because he's struggling so much now with the strikeouts, and he said quite simply he's just not seeing the ball real well right now. And you know, by the time he recognizes the pitch, it's too late. And I know he's hitting early, but how do you fix a problem like that where you're just not recognizing a pitch?
Well, I wish it was that easy that you plug in a program or, you know, we're going to have a knuckle curve program today and a see the ball program tomorrow and a slider program next day, but that's what we're supposed to do. And that's what we're, you know, I see all the work that goes on every day, and, you know, sometimes players have to make the adjustment and coaches have to make the adjustment to their challenges. But unfortunately, with the pitching we're seeing, they don't really cooperate with us. I know yesterday they were out of 105 pitches from their starter, 68 of them were off speed pitches. I think 55 were the knuckle curve, which was a different look. And, you know, it's an excuse if you use it with the pitching and the teams that we're playing, because it's the big leagues and everybody's facing those type of guys. And we beat those people. And, you know, we're going to have another challenge here in the next series with the Yankees. So, you know, there's some magic elixir. Unfortunately, when you think that's the case, it really burns you.
Davis in the lineup today, designated hitter against Yankees lefty Jordan Montgomery. What do we need to know about Montgomery?
Good solid pitcher. A lot of ways to get you out. Great late life on the fastball. You know, Chris very quietly is hitting over 300 against left-hand pitching this year. And I want to get him off the field for a day. We had a quick turnaround. Schedule certainly hasn't been kind to any teams, really, in baseball. But, you know, you work your way through it. We got Adam and J.J. off the field yesterday and get Chris off there, too. I think sometimes he takes such pride in his defense, you know, try to give his legs a little rest. But Montgomery's a really solid, good young pitcher.
You've talked about the problems with the rotation, too many five-inning starts where starters are already up at 100 pitches. How valuable has Dylan Bundy been consistently getting you six-plus innings?
Well, it's been good. You know, we need to have it happen more than once every fifth day, and it has. You know, people forget Goss came off coming off a real good outing last time out and a very competitive one the time before. But, you know, Dylan has been on both sides of that too, but he's been pretty consistent for the most part. Hopefully it carries over today.
Thank you, Buck. Let's toss it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
Well, so far this season, people talk about Milwaukee and maybe Colorado and the Minnesota Twins as being the most surprising teams in baseball, but you can make a very good case that the Yankees have been a very surprising team. So far, they were not expected to be this good. They come in today, a record of 29-18 and a three-game division lead. Now, Ken Singleton is a guy who knows all about the Yankees. He and Jim Hunter, they talked before the game today, and you're going to hear that conversation in a moment when we continue with a warm-up show right after this.
We'll chat with Orioles Hall of Famer Ken Singleton after this on the Orioles Radio Network.
Orioles back home today. Memorial Day baseball against the New York Yankees back within the AL East, and a chance to visit with Orioles Hall of Famer, now Yankees broadcaster Ken Singleton. Now, Kenny, you see the team every day, the Yankees. Everybody's surprised at how consistent they've been. And you throw out that first week of the season, they're probably the best team in the league.
Well, that's true, but it didn't really surprise me because in spring training they were pretty good. They won 24 games in spring training. They hit a lot of home runs in spring training. I felt that they would score more runs than they did last year, and they have been doing that. They're leading the league in runs scored right now. So it doesn't really surprise me. And going back to last season, I'm even less surprised because they got off to, 9-17 last year. If they had won half of those games, they would have made the playoffs, because from that point on, they went 75-61. And that, in the process, they changed the team over. They traded a lot of guys, and they got a lot of young players, stocked the farm system, and a lot of these young players are coming to fruition. We saw Sanchez at the tail end of last year really come on. He almost won Rookie of the Year, played 53 games. Aaron Judge has a chance to be Rookie of the Year this year, the way he's playing. He's made the biggest transformation, though. Last year, he was a strikeout waiting to happen. This year, he does strike out, but he doesn't swing at pitches out of the zone. He's getting his walks, and he's been hitting the ball fantastically.
All right, let me ask you about Aaron Judge, because if you look at his 16 home runs, he had 13 the first 25 games, 3 in the last 20. Now, is the league adjusting to him, or does he have to adjust to them?
Well, it's more than just the home runs. I think that he's adjusting to the point where you see him getting hits to the opposite field. Every pitch is not thrown up there to be hit for a home run. If you hang a curveball or throw him a off-speed changeup that's up in the zone, he's going to hit it a long way. I have never seen anybody hit a ball as hard as he hits it. He hit a double in Chicago. It was a double to the gap in right center, 119 miles an hour. They used to say that Lou Gehrig hit line drives by infielders, by outfielders, the way most guys hit them by infielders. And that's the way Judge does it. He hit that line drive, and John Jay in center for the Cubs just immediately started running for the fence because he knew he wasn't going to be able to cut it off. I mean, he's got the power. I mean, when you're 6'7 and 282 and you're built like a tight end, I mean, he's a strong man. I'd hate to see him get angry. I haven't seen any pitchers brush him back very, very often, or at least, yeah, I think he's only been hit once or maybe twice, but whatever, they were both unintentional. So the fact is that I don't see any pitchers messing with this guy.
The Yankees will send Jordan Montgomery to the mound today, 6'6" left-hander from South Carolina. What I like about what I've seen from him so far, and you go back to spring training, a guy that had to fight his way to make the roster, and now he's still here.
Yeah, the question mark was there in spring training whether he was going to make the team or not. He had some good outings, and I went to the pitching coach, Larry Rothschild, of the Yankees, and I asked him, what did you think? And he said, in his mind, he's already on the team. But the Yankees didn't need a fifth starter until well into April, so they sent him to the minor leagues, and when the time came, they called him back, and he's pitched pretty well. His last start against Kansas City, he was excellent. The bullpen blew his lead. I think he gave up one hit in 6 2/3 innings before he left, but the bullpen blew the lead, and he got a no decision. So if he continues to pitch like this, he's going to move up in the rotation. He's not going to be a number five. He's going to move up during his course with the Yankees.
Now, you've survived without Aroldis Chapman, who's on the DL, because you have Dellin Betances there, who has closer stuff. Yeah. But when Chapman's there, he doesn't have to close. He had an interesting spring with the arbitration, but he's showing he's the guy that was the guy last year, and he's doing it again.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's almost in a way the Yankees had three closures last year because Andrew Miller was there as well. Betances, I believe, is 5-for-5 since Chapman went on the disabled list. So he is, when you throw 100 with a breaking ball like he has, you're going to be tough to hit to begin with, no matter what inning you're pitching, whether it's the first, second, third, or whatever. But the fact is that he's in there now closing, and the Yankees have utmost confidence when he comes in the game.
Short time ago, Adam Jones passed you on the Orioles' all-time hit list for seventh all-time, which is pretty amazing. You hadn't played a game since 1984, and you're still in the top 10 in hits in franchise history. But Adam told us you reached out to him. That a very classy gesture.
Yeah, on Twitter, I sent him a message and congratulated him. I mean, he's a tremendous player. He's one of the best Orioles ever, and he's going to continue to move up lists, whether he's passing me or anybody else in hits or home runs or games played. I saw where recently he's the all-time home run leader here at Camden Yards now, and fans better get used to it. He remains with the team. He's going to pass a lot of people.
You know, it's interesting because the Oriole family never dissolves. I mean, here you still live here. You're a Yankee broadcaster, but you're very much an Oriole, and it's nice to see that you still know what's going on here, and you reach out to players if something like that goes on.
Well, the thing is that I don't do every game like I used to. You know, years ago, I had to work 162 games and with the Expos, but with the Yankees, I was doing 100. Now, I've cut it down to 55, so I'm here, and I get to switch back and forth. I watch Yankees and the Orioles, because the Orioles are in our division. You got to see what happens. And I get to see what's going on with the Orioles. I like it when the Yankees started 7:15. You guys were in Houston. They came over an hour later. So I got to watch the Yankees and switch over and watch the Orioles for a while.
All right, finally, Orioles have a 7-game losing streak. They're just looking for something to go positive. But memory strikes me, in 1983, which, by the way, you won the World Series, didn't you have a 7-game losing streak that year?
We had two of them. Yeah, but the rest of the year we played our butts off. I would think that all is not lost. And the first one, I think, we were in Chicago playing the White Sox, who we ultimately beat in the playoffs in the championship series. And we had lost 7 in a row. It looked like we were never going to win another game. They called up Bill Swaggerty from the minor leagues, made his first major league start. And I'm thinking, oh, we got a rookie going against the White Sox. And he beat him. And that set us off in the other direction. We went on a roll again and eventually got to where every team would like to go.
Back at Oriole Park at Camden Yards, Dylan Bundy against left-handed Jordan Montgomery when this game started. And right away, Brett Gardner got up to a slow start this season, but of late had been real hot for the Yankees. He got a base hit against Bundy to get the game started. After that, Sanchez popped out. That's when Holiday came up to hit, and that's when Bundy made a pretty good pitch. And yet Bundy made 10 starts, 9 of which have been quality starts. He delivers 2-2. Holiday, broken bat, one hopper to scope. He'll go to J.J. There's one. Here comes the relay. Two, a double play. 4-6-3. Nicely done on a broken bat. And boy, for Holiday, that bat really died a goat. Into two outs. Yeah, Bundy. 9 pitches to get 3 outs. And then right away, his teammates gave him a lead. Rickard, a leadoff single in the bottom of the first inning. And with Rickard in scoring position with 2 outs, it brought up Mark Trumbo. Line drive, base hit, left field, head for the corner. Rickard heading for home. He will score. Gardner, a sliding stop, and then guns it back into second base, holding Trumbo to a single. And it's a 1-0 Oriole lead. Well, good job there by Gardner to prevent extra bases, but he cannot prevent the runner. Trumbo gets it done with 2 outs. Yep, his 24th RBI, 1-0 Orioles. But the Yankees came right back against Bundy in the second inning as Castro, the leadoff hitter, was hit by a pitch. And eventually, on Gregorius' infield single, he was on third base for Aaron Hicks. Fly ball, right field corner. On the run, Trumbo. On the run, he's going to get there. He's going to make the catch. Here comes Castro. Here's the throw. Too late on a head first slide. It's a 1-1 game. But Trumbo, good catch. He got there. Made a real strong throw, just too late to get the out. Indeed. So we're tied at 1-1 until the bottom half of inning number 3. One out, bases empty. Trumbo gets aboard on an error out there at second base on what could have been easily called an infield single. But then Castillo flied out, out number 2. Mancini, he singled to get a couple of runners on base for Jonathan Scope.
And the left-hander's pitch, swinging a line drive right field. That ball is in the corner and in there for a base hit. Here's Trumbo to score. Mancini heading to third. He's being sent. The ball dug out by Judge. He fires back in. It is too late. Mancini all the way around from first. It is a 2-run double for Jonathan Scope, and the Orioles have a 3-1 lead.
So there you go. Mancini got the hit to set up that situation after earlier in the top of the third inning coming through defensively. I mean, Gardner had doubled, so he was on second base with nobody out. Sanchez came up to hit. He gambled and, paid the price.
And Bundy deals, swinging a high fly ball to left. Back on it, Mancini. Got under it again. Mancini will make the catch. Gardner Taggi going to third. Here comes the throw. The tag, he is out at third base. Mancini guns him down. Perfect throw to Machado, who applied the tag. So that erases the leadoff double, two men down. A perfect throw by Mancini, and he got him.
So Bundy in the game, a couple of ground ball double plays, and that one a disjointed double play on a fly ball that resulted in two outs. And Bundy today would go seven innings, gave up two runs, six hits. He had one walk, he had three strikeouts. And, he had that two-run lead until the top of the seventh inning when Aaron Judge for the Yankees came up as the leadoff hitter.
Well, the 3-2 pitch is swung out and hit the center field and deep, and that ball's going to go into the bleachers for a home run. So how about that? He had him struck out on the check swing, then he just missed on a borderline pitch, and Judge hits it out. His 17th of the year makes it a one-run game. And give credit to Aaron Judge. He got two extra cracks at it, and he didn't miss. He hit it out.
Aaron Judge, yep, 17th home run. Now leads the major leagues with those 17 home runs. And that one made it a one-run game. After that, it was up to the Oriole bullpen. And, boy, what a job the bullpen did. First, Darren O'Day with a 1-2-3 eighth inning. 3-2. Let's see what happens here. And here it comes. Fastball upstairs. Check swing. Did he go? Appeal. They got him. They ring him up. So Holiday walks away. Ultimately, a fastball 3-2. It would have been ball four, but Holiday swung just enough. And O'Day with a 1-2-3 eighth in a one-run game.
Yeah.
Big. Looking real good. That was big in a one-run game. And then came the ninth. Brad Brock came out of the bullpen. He got Castro, the leadoff hitter, on a ground ball. Very important with the Judge coming up to hit next.
Aaron Judge is 0-for-3 in his advance against Brock. And again, a small sample size.
1-2. Here it comes. Fastball. Swing and a miss. Struck came out. Fastball 96. Judge goes down on strikes. Big one there, huh? One-run game. Bases empty. It brought up D.D. Gregorius. And Brad Brock ended the game very impressively. Brock takes a look. And the right-hander comes to a set. Here it comes. Swing and a miss. Got him. Struck, came out. Ball game is over. Brad Brock gets him 1-2-3. Ends the game with a strikeout, and the Orioles back in the win column. At the end of that miserable seven-game losing streak, Darren O'Day a 1-2-3 eighth, Brad Brock with a 1-2-3 ninth, and they won a ball game back at Camden Yards. Well, they end the seven-game losing streak, and they win a one-run game. How about that? Kind of a doubleheader win right there as they take the first of three against the Yankees head-to-head. And Jim Hunter will continue our post-game activities right after this.
Jim Hunter back at Camden Yards, where the Orioles end their seven-game losing streak, beating the Yankees by the final of 3-2, so the Birds get the homestand off to a winning start as they pull it out by a run. While the Orioles win it by the final of 3-2, they snap the seven-game losing streak. Time to hear from the skipper. Let's head downstairs. Post-game comments from Buck Showalter.
Walk to the dugout. Trey, as soon as he swung it, walked to the dugout. Scream at him to stand there. The umpire missed the call. Oh. Keeping some credibility. How about the check swings?
Really?
What's up? Everybody's got the grill hot.
Look, is there a sense of relief that you guys can now turn the page after the streak and then just...
No. Not at all. It's Severino tomorrow, and you know, you got, I don't think anybody, maybe for a short period of time, but, you know, it's a challenge every day to not live in that world and stay strong mentally through the challenges that every season presents, good and bad. It's one of those things that I talk to them all the time about, things that separate you from, you know, some people that don't have the skills to do this. That's the difference, because everybody's skilled at this level. Dylan was really good. That helped a lot. I thought Darren and Brad about as good as – Darren, the last three or four outings, you can tell he's getting extension. He's not having any repercussions, some of the things that he was challenged with. Brad was about as good as you want to see him.
Is that sort of the evolution of Dylan Bundy, what you'd like to see pitch count-wise? He had it under better control today?
boy, you'd like to have everybody like that, but, you know, when he establishes that he's going to throw the ball over the plate, then it gets them more in swing mode, which plays into every pitcher, not just Dylan. And, you know, he had a lot of weapons at his disposal today. That's a really talented lineup. To hold them to two runs for nine innings is an accomplishment.
Well, you talked a lot about starting pitching, setting the tone. I mean, how much did Dylan going out there and doing what he did?
That's big. You know, it's one of those where, you know, we did a really good job against Montgomery. You know, I think Rickard, the guy I want to mention, I think he saw close to 30 pitches today. And that's, you know, the way we grinded him is very similar to the way that, you know, we've been getting it done to us. And a lot of he pitched well. It wasn't like we opened him up. But John had a big hit going the other way against left-hander that he's had some challenges against. And, you know, to get up early a little bit and you know, an answer when they came back and tied it.
What is it about Dylan that he's so willing to throw his fastball over the plate? You know, is it just something about that pitch or those
courses? It's because he has command of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he doesn't center cut too many of them. You know, he quick pitch fastball first baseman twice. You know, a good fast. Just because a team is a good fastball hitting team, like us and like them, doesn't mean you don't throw it. If you go in there, you know, first four pitches. I think 21 of their pitchers' first 35 pitches were all speed pitches. It's something we're seeing all the time. Probably won't tomorrow as much, but you know, it's adjustment that you got to make. And you know, Dylan does a good job of reading. We talk all the time about catchers and pitchers reading swings, reading when they're in swing mode and when they're looking certain places. You can tell the sequence that they've seen the previous at bat and how things might change. But you know, our guys really create a lot of in-between moves by them.
On another subject, what was going on with Adam today?
You know, I talked to Adam in Houston and felt like if we gave him Sunday, good chance he'd be a player today. And you know, we did a lineup this morning, went with that pretense, and then we came in and said he's feeling better every day. And you know, I think with the quick turnaround, it's like I told y'all this morning, I knew he was checking it out, and we kind of met and felt like it'd be good to give him another day. And then, you know, if it, with the big turnaround from today and to tomorrow night, and then if we still have an issue there, then we probably need to think about some other direction.
Because of the new rules on the retroactive, do you feel sort of under more pressure to do
not
something?
Not pressure. Pressure is not having a guy as good as Adam. You know, so you know, if we think we're going to get him, we'll take it. But we understand the rules in the 3 days, but it doesn't play into the decision.
You talked a little bit pregame about some of the recent struggles some of the guys have been having at the plate, but someone who's been very consistent for you so far is Scope in the last 7 or 8 games, kept keeping his average up above 300. What can you say about his consistency at the plate right now?
Well, I like the fact, you know, he's had his challenges in his career against left-hand pitching. You could tell he had an approach there, and he was going to hit him the other way. And, you know, John, I think, second on our club in RBIs. We've moved him around a lot in the order, especially with the challenge we're trying to present to everybody. You don't want to be too top heavy or too bottom heavy, but you know, we really haven't gotten into a period this year where everybody's, you know, like we did last year some, where everybody's kind of a threat, and we think that's ahead of us. But John has been pretty consistent and made a couple nice plays on a 4-3 play that a lot of people stay back on. But John's been solid. He's got people miss how strong he is mentally. I mean, this guy, he'll stick his nose in there and get it done.
Buck, I know it's not a total Oriole question. Did you have much interaction with Frank DeFord in your New York years?
No, I just watched his work. The what is it? The thing that I just appreciate his work and seen him, but. Congratulations to Maryland. They had 3 good situations today with the 2 lacrosse and the invitation to the NCAA baseball, huh? That's great. Where are they going to play the regional at? Anybody know?
Winston-Salem.
Who's hosting?
Wake Forest.
Mississippi State get in? Going in on the pool?
Was that yesterday, right?
I'm sure it was. It wasn't on my mind last night when I got to the house.
It was announced today.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
The postgame comments from Buck Showalter as the Orioles snapped the 7-game losing streak, winning today by the final of 3-2. Now, on the SK scoreboard, the Red Sox now in second place.